Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. At the Christmas Eve service last week, I reminisced about the magical Christmas spirit feeling I used to have as a kid. And so it only seems appropriate that this week I reminisce about the other thing I remember as a kid. Gifts. If we're honest with ourselves, right, what's really going through the mind of every kid on Christmas? What's Santa gonna bring? What am I gonna get? In fact, as we were doing our services, both here and in Chestnut, I overheard some of this chatter about Christmas gifts. You know, kids excited about what they're going to receive. Now, it's not until you get older when you realize that gifts are certainly nice, but there is much more to Christmas than just presents. But since we're on the subject, I have a question for all of you. How many of you guys got clothes this Christmas? Anybody get clothes? I remember when I was a kid, the worst thing I could get for Christmas was clothes. Right? Nothing was more disappointing than being handed one of those flat, sort of rectangular boxes, and you knew it was filled with socks or underwear or pajamas you didn't want or some other article of clothing, right? Half the time, when you opened it and you looked at it and you looked at the size, it was the wrong size. You know, as I got older into junior high and high school, I would open it up and I'd look at it and I'd go, "This is something that I will never wear." I wouldn't say that out loud, but that's what's going through my mind. And then even if it was the appropriate size or if it was the appropriate style for me, it was still a gift that had the potential to be a toy or a gadget. And then it wasn't. No, toys were much more exciting. Now, maybe you feel the same way as I do about clothes for Christmas, or maybe you don't. Maybe you like clothes for Christmas, but either way, the prophet Isaiah in our Old Testament text for this morning tells us that clothes are actually the greatest Christmas gift we can ever receive. That in fact, we should rejoice over our clothes more than any other gift ever. He shares these words. "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exalt in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels." Okay, so Isaiah is not really talking about the physical clothes that we put on our body, but rather the clothes that we receive from Jesus. That is, his righteousness. You know, and if righteousness is a word that might be a little bit too big for our modern ears, think about what it means to be guiltless. Having done absolutely nothing wrong, according to God's law. This is what Jesus gives. These are the clothes that we get to unwrap on Christmas. As Jesus comes wrapped in swaddling cloths as a little tiny baby born into this world, he gives us our own clothes. Now, no amount of wishing or doing or anything else in the world will allow you to get this. The only way that we receive this robe of righteousness, this garment of salvation, is if Jesus gives it to us. This is why Jesus becoming a man is so important. You see, in our epistle text, we heard about the law, right? How God needed to be born under the law. Well, the truth is that God is righteous. He is perfect. He is guiltless no matter what because he's God. Okay? That's just part of who he is. He's perfect. And he is the one who created the law. But oftentimes when we hear the law, and because it makes us feel bad, we imagine that the law is something that is bad. But that's not true. God put the law over us as this guardian, as this good thing to help protect us. The law is good in and of itself. The problem is that we don't follow the law. We don't do the good law that God has given us, which means that the law then condemns us. Well, God recognizes this is a problem, right? He loves his people. He sees the good law. And so he can't really remove the law because if he takes it away, he's working against himself. Remember, he is a perfect, he is a good God. And so if he removes the law, he has to admit that he screwed up somehow. And that's not the case. The law was always a good thing. And so instead of removing the law, God has to come up with another way to lift the burden off of our shoulders. That way we're no longer condemned by it. And so what he does is he sends Jesus into the world so that Jesus can fulfill the law. And so, you know, I want you to imagine sort of this big, heavy weight sort of resting on top of you. And it's so heavy that it's literally crushing your body. That's what the law does for us. And so Jesus is this picture, you know, even as a baby, he's this strong man who comes underneath it with you. And he literally lifts the burden off. And so every time that Jesus does what is required according to the law, even, you know, 8 days after he's born when he's circumcised, even, you know, when Mary and Joseph and Jesus go to the temple for all of these purification rites and different things that they're doing in our gospel reading for today, Jesus is fulfilling the law for you. He's doing everything perfect where you and I might fail. And so as every minute detail of what God has commanded his people is accomplished in the perfect life of Jesus, Jesus becomes the righteous one, the one who is guiltless according to the law. And what does he do with his guiltlessness, with this righteousness he holds within himself? He gives it away as clothes, Christmas clothes for you. Maybe not in a square white box that you don't want to receive as a kid, but as clothes that you receive as you hear the word. Now, this promise of righteousness would have been a welcomed gift indeed. It would have been one of the most wonderful things the people in Isaiah's day could have heard. Why? Well, because they're feeling the wrath of God full on. They're feeling the weight of that law full on, the condemnation that God had in store for them. Why? Well, because they had forsaken the law of God, forsaken God's word. And so God gave them a promise. I'm going to punish you. And in fact, he sends them away into the Babylonian exile. And so facing this exile, they had no hope. They had nowhere to turn. They didn't know how to get out of this thing. The only way that they could be restored is if God promises them restoration, is if God promises them mercies, if God promises them righteousness. And so the promise of being clothed with this righteousness was a welcome gift indeed. But we are not facing exile. Does this declaration of righteousness bring joy to your heart? Like our text says. Does it make you greatly rejoice in the Lord? Is your soul exalted? That means lifted up because of this wonderful gospel that God is working for you. Well, it's easy to tell. If you know you are a sinner, and if you fear God for the wrath he inflicts due to sin, then I'm certain this promise of righteousness is a welcomed gift for you, just like it was for the people of Isaiah's day. But the problem is that oftentimes in our world, we're tempted to think we're pretty good people. After all, how many of you guys have committed murder? Right? None of us, right? And so at the very least, we can point to people in prison and go, well, at least I'm not that bad. After all, if I compare myself to everybody else, I'm actually a pretty good person. That's the lie that the world will tell you, that because our sins are small, it's okay. And sometimes, like the people in Isaiah, we too lose the sight of God's law. We lose our healthy fear of the Lord. And it's precisely in these times that we need the word to bring our sin to remember, not simply to make us feel bad, but so that it can do what it's supposed to do. The law in our own time is supposed to work like the exile did for the people of Israel, to bring to our knowledge the sins that we commit. Because when we realize how desperately we need God, how desperately we need him to declare us righteous, then when we hear that he's already doing that in Christmas and in every other time of the year, it leads us to realize that we do have a great gift. that Jesus' garment of righteousness, his robe of righteousness, or his garment of salvation, it is something that we need and something that we won't go, oh great, it's clothes again. And so this morning, what I want you to do is I want you to consider your place in life according to the Ten Commandments. Are you a father, mother, son, daughter, husband, wife, or worker? Have you been disobedient, unfaithful, or lazy? Have you been hot-tempered, rude, or quarrelsome? Have you hurt someone by your words or deeds? Have you stolen, been negligent, wasted anything, or done any harm? Because when we honestly look at ourselves, God leads us to realize our failure. But even more than we need the law of God to show our sin, we need the gospel to show us our Savior, to show us the righteousness of Christ, to his garment of salvation. We need baptism to wash us clean and to make our garments white in his blood that he sheds from the cross. My friends, it is only when we are connected to Jesus Christ, to his crucifixion, to his resurrection, that we too are crucified with him with all of our sin, and we're raised back to life with none of it. Only after we have received this bloody death and glorious resurrection are we able to live as those who have been clothed. Now, you might remember a Christmas story. You know, that movie, Ralphie, and, you know, he wants his BB gun, right? Well, at the very end of the movie, he gets pajamas. You might remember. The bunny pajamas, right? They're pink. It's embarrassing, right? But he puts them on. And to be honest, this is what we need to do with clothes, especially when we receive them as a gift. You know, because nothing makes somebody happier than when they see you using the gift that they have given. You see, the righteousness of Christ covers you today. You've been given the clothes, and in fact, Jesus has already put them on you, but now he has good use of those clothes for you. Now he leads you to live lives of holiness and godliness in every way that is pleasing to your Father in heaven. In this way, you can serve your neighbor, you can love God, and you can do everything that the law requires. In this way, God makes good use of the clothes that Jesus has gifted you this Christmas. Because my friends, you are forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your Christmas clothes. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.